The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word had handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. The relationship between the risen Lord, the community of believers, and sacred scripture is essential to our identity as Christians. Without the Lord who opens our minds to them, it is impossible to understand the scriptures in depth. Yet the contrary is equally true. Without the scriptures, the events of the mission of Jesus and of his church in this world would remain incomprehensible. Hence, St. Jerome would rightly claim, ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. Pope Francis, 6 years ago, named this third Sunday of Ordinary Time the Sunday of the Word of God. In his motu proprio, he writes, "Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures." This was one of the final acts of the risen Lord before his ascension. Jesus appeared to the assembled disciples, broke bread with them, and opened their minds to the understanding of sacred scriptures. To them, amid their fear and bewilderment, he unveiled the meaning of the Paschal mystery, that in accordance with the Father's eternal plan, he had to suffer and rise from the dead in order to bring repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He then promised to send the Holy Spirit, who would give them strength to be witnesses of this saving mystery. Francis continues, "This Sunday of the Word of God will thus be a fitting part of that time of the year when we are encouraged to strengthen our bonds with the Jewish people and to pray for Christian unity. This is more than a temporal coincidence. The celebration of this Sunday of the Word of God has ecumenical value, because for those who listen, the scriptures point out the path to authentic and firm unity." There can be no question why this Sunday was chosen in 2019, when we also heard these same readings of Cycle C, because the Word of God is central to the entire story of salvation. When the Judeans were deported into captivity by the Babylonians between 597 and 582 BC, and Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, It seemed all was lost. When Babylon fell to Persia, however, King Cyrus permitted the Judeans to return to Jerusalem. According to the biblical book of the scribe Ezra, construction of the temple, second temple began in 537. During the 60 years that the people of Israel were in exile, one generation died, one generation followed, and another generation was born without any memory of life and culture in Judah and Samaria. It became apparent that the scriptures as we know them today, which had never been written down but had passed from generation to generation as an oral tradition, some 1,400 years since Abraham, the scriptures were at risk of being lost altogether. And so it was during the exile that Ezra the scribe and others began to gather all of the oral traditions and stories of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, or the Pentateuch, and wrote them down. They brought these scrolls home as their greatest treasure, the embodiment of who they are and their relationship with the living God. The scene we see in the first reading today is so emotional. Weeping and celebrating at the same time, throngs of people came to hear, for the first time, to hear the scrolls of the Word of God proclaimed. The law of Moses is restored to the people of this first covenant. Their identity itself was saved. Today, every synagogue enshrines a handwritten set of these scrolls and a sacred cabinet at the heart of their worship place. And so it was that half a millennium later, Jesus steps into his hometown synagogue where he grew up. Just think for a moment the scene. He's familiar to everyone, a local son who suddenly gets up and begins to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, much of which was composed during the Babylonian captivity and later an extended meditation on the destiny of Jerusalem into and after the exile. Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel because there are so many references to the Messiah's servant who is to come to save God's people. Jesus basically proclaims the word and then informs the crowd simply that it is about him. Today, he says, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Today is born to you a Savior. We use that word today, hodie, in many places, because the mysteries of Christ, even though they happened at once in time, they somehow permeate all of time. Today is born to you a Savior. Today, salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house. Today, he gives his voice to this word, just as he will soon give his whole life. He is author of the word and the breath that carries it, and the proclamation to be heard fulfilled. It reminds me of that corresponding mystery of Eucharist, where Jesus is the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. Jesus is the word, the breath delivering it, and its fulfillment. In him, all comes full circle to completion, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The power of the word is in its being heard. I always wish you would put down the missalette, because we can't control the word of God. Any attempt to control it diminishes its power to change you. Its impact is through its reception by hearing. If you read it with your eyes, it goes to your intellect, and you end up just having a lot of questions about it. But if you listen with your ears, it goes straight to your heart. It is Jesus' Holy Spirit who delivers the word. And regardless of the actual words themselves, you will receive from the Holy Spirit the message intended just for you. Someone else often hears something different. This is the basis for the ancient prayer tradition of the church called Lectio Divina, or divine reading, which uses the Bible not as a textbook, but as a prayer book. So the question for you today is, when you listen to the word, do you open your heart to receive it, with the same kind of intensity as those who wept at the water gate when they realized that it was not lost, or with the same kind of wonder for the one who fulfills it in our hearing each time we listen. This celebration of the Word of God is our celebration of good news, of promise, and the truth that sets us free. May we truly become people of the Word of God.